Thank you guys so much and for all the work you've done. And so, church, at the end of service, they'll be standing in the back. Let's buy a couple of thousand Bibles for them this morning and get the Word of God out. And just remember that they have all those cards there, and you can keep supporting them all through the year and keep buying the Word. The Word never fails. Amen? Amen. That's what you call smoking the Word, right? I like that. Man, I bet that was a raunchy cigarette. Anyway, praise God. Well, get your Bibles out this morning. And let's go just look here this morning at Romans chapter 10. Verse 9, I want to pick up where I stopped last week about faith. And encourage you here this morning. You know, church, I'm going to tell you this. Thanks that you just don't know. You give this morning. They say 2,300 people will read the Bible out of a hotel room. So, you know, you just don't know. You don't know until you get to heaven what really your life has affected. You know what I mean? And you don't know when something that was done that you're going to get to heaven. I tell you, I literally believe that we're going to get to heaven and be shocked. You know, you're going to stand there and say, really? You know, how did we do this? Jesus said, himself said, you know, you've done it to at least one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, right? And so you just don't know the effect. And that's what's cool about it is to be a part of something that's going on like that around the world. And so it's the same way. I've been talking to y'all about faith. I've been talking about, what are you guys? Yeah. What are y'all? Yeah. What are you? Yeah, you're VIPs. You're very important people. In the kingdom of God, I'm telling you, if you're born again, you're a child of God. You're washed in the blood. You are a VIP. You are a very important person. You are a son of God walking on the face of this earth with the ability to walk and to tell other people about Jesus, to walk in the power and authority that God gave you, to experiences of the promises of God, experience the things of God, to carry God's word out around the world, to be able to give, to be prosperous, to be blessed, to be a blessing. Everybody say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. That's why God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your socks off so you'll be a blessing to somebody else. Hello? And so, we were talking about all the things that as your privileges of VIP. You know, a VIP has privileges. Amen. I have to admit it. I'm a VIP hog, glutton. I like to be a VIP. Oh, Pastor, you need to be more humble. I love it, man. If I'm a VIP, I want everything that's mine. When I have the VIP card, I'm like, yes, give me here. Come, you go run here. Yes, I'm a VIP. Makes me feel good. I mean, y'all not? I stretch it as far as it'll go. Okay, so it is with the kingdom of God. As a Christian, as a born again child of God, we need to understand. We don't need to be arrogant with the gospel. We need to understand God has a purpose. He has benefits. He has privileges that He wants you to walk in. As a child of God, He does not want you to be defeated. He does not want you to be discouraged. He wants you to walk in faith. He wants you to be believing in Him for everything. Listen to me, there's nothing too small for God. There's nothing too large for God. Sometimes we go through lives and say, well, you know, there's no sense. I have a friend who's always saying to me, well, don't waste a prayer on that one. I mean, just let that one ride. And I'm like, I ask him all the time, you only have so many that you could ask, and so like you're up to your quota, you're going to say, well, God said, no, you've already got your 36 requests this week. You don't, you're the 37th, and no, I'm not going to answer it. But he always tells me that, no, don't pray about that, because I'll say, well, I'll be praying about that, you know, a business thing or something like that, and I'll say, well, I'll pray about that. He said, no, don't bother God about that, you know. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. You want God in everything. Get Him involved in everything. No, he said, I'd like to save my prayers for those big ones, you know, when there's really a problem. And I'm like, what? That's not right. You're not thinking right. So anyway, it says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, A scripture that we read all the time about a salvation scripture, but I want to look at it as a faith scripture. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. Look what the two elements are here. Confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. Your life today is being dictated by what you believe in your heart, whether you realize it or not. If you believe today that you are poor, you believe today that you are stupid, believe today that you are underprivileged, believe today that you don't stand a chance just like everybody else stands a chance. You believe, anything negative, I'll tell you what, you're walking in it. You say, well, wait a minute. No. Your faith in your heart is dictating what you're going to walk in. The faith in your heart is dictating your attitude. If you wake up in the morning and say, today, I just really feel like today's going to be a terrible day, you just ought to stay home. Most of the time, people are already defeat themselves by what they think in their heart. And then what comes out of their mouth. Because the principle is with God is that if you confess with your mouth, if you speak it out of your mouth, and then you believe it in your heart, that's how salvation comes. Well, that's how everything comes. If you wake up in the morning and say, "Whoo, man, I am blessed today. I am blessed today to be a blessing. Man, everywhere I go today, God is with me. I am blessed." Well, listen, wait a minute. You're a VIP. You're just pulling your VIP card. That's all you're doing is flipping your VIP card and saying, "Man, I'm blessed. God said he wants me blessed. I'm blessed today. Whoo, I'm blessed today." You walk outside, tires flat on your truck. Right there, man. Right there is where the rubber meets the road, right there. Because the devil has just come to steal the confession out of your mouth. The enemy's just right there to steal what you're saying out of your mouth. And if you go out there and say, "Man, I knew it wasn't right. I knew I wasn't really blessed. I knew it wasn't going to work. See, my tire's flat." You know what happened? That's what you believe truly in your heart. You were faking it. When you started out, you were faking it. You were acting like you believed it. But the truth of the matter is, you were just faking it, hoping you'd make it. Because it's what you believe in your heart, it's what's going to dictate all of your thoughts, all of your actions, everything. Y'all with me? Okay. So, I want to go on. Go look over at Proverbs chapter 23 this morning. Proverbs 23 verse 6. Proverbs 23 verse 6. It says, "Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is." As he thinks in his heart, so he is. Listen to me. As you think in your heart, so you are. Now, there's a fine line here, and let me distinguish it, between just being an arrogant jerk, all right, and having confidence in your God. It's a fine line. The world may perceive you as an arrogant jerk. Well, who does he think he is? Well, you don't really understand. You see, I gave my heart to Jesus years ago, and I got this VIP card. And so, you know, I am special, but it's only because of this card. Are y'all with me? Then just, like the Pharisee looked down at the guy and said, "Well, Lord, I thank you that, I'm not as bad as he is." Y'all with me? You got to watch it because you don't want to be perceived as arrogant, conceited. Okay? But you definitely don't want to try to be so humble pie that you're over here in the doubt and unbelief category. You got to walk that line of knowing that you have covenants and promises with your God because of what Jesus did for you. Are y'all following me here? When you know those covenants and promises, they're there in your heart, and you are believing them in your heart, then they will come forth out of you. Are y'all with me? I think that's why in the medical profession, that a lot of times when we have to go to a doctor, and if a doctor, depending on what kind of a doctor he is, and if he begins to throw off a bunch of terminology and a bunch of jargon and saying all this kind of stuff like this, we don't really know enough about it to argue. So we just kind of get led down the road because we don't know nothing any better. Y'all with me? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but, you know, it's one of my areas in life. I don't know. I know how my body functions. You know what I'm saying? Like, on the surface. Other than that, I don't know much about how it all works. See, when you don't have information, it's hard for you to stand your ground. When you don't really know that you know what's really in your heart, it's hard for you to stand your ground. And so if you're trying to believe God has covenants and promises for you, but you're letting somebody or the enemy talk you out of it, and they're presenting a pretty good case, well, then all of a sudden you start to back up and you're like, well, I don't know, maybe you're right. See, you're not really settled in your heart. As you think in your heart, so you are. Okay, so your heart is the determining factor of what you really believe. I don't care. Give me a room full of atheists. They're not going to convince me that God is not real. I'm not going to be talked out of anything. Give me a group of religious people, put them into the room, and hammer me that God is a God of the supernatural. I'm still going to stand. I say, no, this is what I believe. I know it's sealed in my heart. I've already been there, bought the t-shirt. I know what it's like, so I ain't going back. Y'all with me? But if you're not settled in your heart, you can be talked out of it. Okay? Let me give you another scripture. Go to James, the Epistle of James, chapter 1. If what you believe is not based upon the Word of God, listen to me, you'll be talked out of it. If what you believe is based upon experience, feelings, emotion, then you'll get talked out of it. But if it's based upon what the Word of God says, then you know what? And you know it, you believe it, and you say, well, that's what the Word says. I'm sorry, that's what the Word says. Then you can't be talked out of it. Then you're going to walk in it. Okay? James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man. He's unstable in all of his ways. I mean, that's a pretty tough statement, but James was a pastor, you know, really of the first church that we read about in the New Testament. And James is telling his people then, and I'm telling y'all now, that it's the doubt that's in your heart that keeps you from walking in the promises of God. And there's not a one of us in here that you have not prayed before and asked God something that you know that the Word promises you, but that there isn't a little voice, a little whisper comes in your head and said, well, you really think God's going to give you that, or he's going to do that for you? You know what you did the other night. You know that thought you had. You really think that God's going to give it to you and try to get you over into works. Am I right? Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. Come on. I believe all of us have. You're lying if you don't. You're just got that problem. All of us do. There's not a one of us that don't. That at times in life, that we believe that the performance that we produce on earth is going to directly affect what we're receiving from God. But there was only one performance that was ever taking place that counts, and that was Jesus's on the cross. And it's his blood that washes and cleanses you. And if you think that you can stand righteous before God by any other means, well, then you also have a deception problem in your life. Because you're not near as good as you really think you are. Look at the person beside you and smile and say, man, I just love Pastor Robert. I love it when he's preaching like this. So it's the doubt that comes up in your heart that is beginning to steal the faith and keeping you from walking forward with God and walking and flipping around that VIP deal. I told y'all this, that, you know, we were blessed and had some rodeo tickets given to us, and they were great seats, you know, down like in the dirt section, you know. And you know, people tend to judge pretty quickly, you know, by the way that you dress and the way that, you know, I guess you just look. And I went walking down there trying to find the seat. And I'm looking, and I'm trying to find, you know, the deal, and don't have my glasses on, and I'm trying not to put them on. I'm trying to still look like I'm not that old that I need my glasses, you know. And so I'm doing the old focal point here of trying to get this down. And so we walk down the section, and this lady walked up to us like, no farther, you can't go any more than this. I mean, I was kind of offended, like, you know, I mean, I got good clothes on as far as I was concerned. Cleaned up pretty well. And she's over here blocking the road, like, you don't look like you belong down here. And so she said, well, let me see your tickets. I'm sure it's over here. And she points like into the upper section. Because I knew where the seats were, you know, roughly. And then you should have seen the look on her face change. She saw my seat, and she's like, oh, excuse me, sir, well, you're right. You know, then it was like, oh, da-da, come to your seat. And I was like, then I was wanting to just see, like, yeah, get out of the way. You know, can I have somebody bring me some service over here? I mean, what's up with this? I got this ticket, man. I'm just flipping this ticket around everywhere, man. This thing, I'm not about to lose it either. Because if they won't even let me down there, surely they'll throw me out. So, I mean, I'm hanging on to that ticket, man. I'm glued to it because that ticket is getting me where I want to be. You follow me? Well, see, the difference is if she would have looked at me and said, oh, well, I'm sorry, sir, that's, you know, your seats are over here, because I wasn't real sure, right? I really wasn't sure 100%. I may have taken a lesser position. Because I wasn't real sure. Now, I can guarantee you I'd have broke my glasses out, got down, figured it out, and been looking at it and saying, oh, wait a minute here. Well, you know, this section right down here, and then that, you know, this. I'd have sat there for a while, and I'd have got it figured out. Or I'd have waited for some people I knew to say, hey, where's my seat? Folks, isn't that what we do with the gospel, though? You see, you read your Bible, and you read about the promise. You read what God says is yours. But then some yahoo over there, some yazoo comes up and starts talking you out of what's yours. Some ignorant preacher gets up and preaches a message that isn't even based upon the Word of God, and you hear it, and then those little thoughts get to run around, and you say, well, I don't know, he's pretty smart looking, he may know more than I do, and they start talking you out of what's yours. The only way you're going to know what's yours, though, is you have to find it. You have to go to the Word of God. You have to get in. You can't base your life and your heart and everything on what somebody else said. You got to know that you know it. You got to get it in there and say, well, wait a minute. I read over there in the Bible where it says this. And then that person may say, well, yeah, but it says that over there. No, no, no. But I found it over here, which also says the same thing. This is mine. This is my promise. I've looked it up. Look, I got this scripture written down right here. Here it is, right here. That's my scripture. You see, because what you're thinking in your heart is what's going to determine everything you're going to walk in. And I want you to understand, Matthew 4:4 says, the devil comes immediately to steal the word of God from your heart. Actually, it's Mark 4. Go look it up. Find it yourself. It says the devil comes immediately to steal the word. What's being sown in you right now before you get out those doors is going to want to be stolen from you. Okay. You don't have to turn there because I want to hurry up, because I never have. I've been wanting for 2 weeks to preach what I'm trying to get to, and I ain't got there yet. In Mark chapter 3, verse 24, Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees, and he said, look, in a kingdom divided against itself, that kingdom can't stand. If you're divided against yourself, you're not going to stand. If there's an argument going on the inside of you, you're not going to be able to stand and walk in that promise. If you have some ignorance in you, and you come to church, and I'm telling you the word, and it's different, listen to me. You've got to figure out which one's right, because if you have two divided kingdoms, it's not going to stand. You can't be arguing in your mind with yourself. Can't do it. If you're your own critic and you're arguing against yourself, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to walk in the promises. You're going to be talked out of your seat. And you're going to be sitting up in the nosebleed section saying, I wish I was down there. When your ticket, but I put you down there. And you're up in the nosebleed section where they don't even bring you any popcorn. No cotton candy. Is this hitting home? This is a good message. I'm liking it more and more as I preach it. You're a VIP. You have faith. God has given each and every one of you faith, but you have to use it. And you say, well, why aren't things happening for me? Because it's what you think in your heart. It's what you think in your heart. Okay? So you can't be divided. There's three things. You can write these down if you want to. There's three things that you adjustments you have to make in your life. What you say. Okay, what you say, James chapter 3 says, man, for if we don't stumble in word, we're a perfect man. All right, it's what you say. Your tongue is the rudder to your life. First thing, your adjustment you got to make in life is, what are you saying out of your mouth? The second thing you've got to do is, what are you thinking about? What are you meditating on? Listen to me, if you're meditating that bad things are going to happen to you, then they're probably going to. If you're the kind of person that a freckle comes up on your hand and you determine that you've got cancer and you're going to die, and that's all you can think about, folks, I would go get it checked out and get to a doctor quickly and find somebody that's got more sense than you. Y'all looking at me. Some of y'all looked at me like I made the major mad just when I said that. I'm sorry, but if you just wake up in the morning and all you're doing is worrying, you're making yourself sick. And I've tried to do this, and I'm not always perfect about it, but I don't like the unknown myself. Like when I'm in doing anything, I like to know what's going on, okay? I'm not real good at dealing with the unknown. But I've learned in life there isn't no sense worrying about something that I don't even know what it is or the outcome is of it. To sit around and worry about just something that I'm kind of just thinking, oh, this could happen. You know, I don't have enough emotional energy anymore to do that. Right? If there's something that's definitely sitting in front of me to worry about, then I'm like, oh, okay, we need to deal with this problem. But there's no sense me just hanging around the house trying to dream something up. Right? I had a person come to me one day, and this is years ago, came to me one day and said, listen, I just want to know, how come you're mad at me? I said, I didn't know I was. Well, yeah, you know, I was in the grocery store and I was coming down the aisle and you turned and went down the other aisle and you know, you didn't say anything to me. I said, when? You know, and so they told me what day it was and what hour it was and where I was and whole nine yards. And I was like, really? I said, well, to be honest with you, I was on a mission. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, when I go to a store, I have no desire to stay in that place. I was on a mission. Whatever I was after, I was on a mission to go find it, get it, and get out of there. And I had tunnel vision. And I'm sorry, I didn't see you. I said, I'm not mad at you. Really? I said, well, when did this happen? No, it's been like a month ago. This person had worried for a month that I was mad at him, and I never saw him. Y'all with me? So I'm like, okay, you're just sitting around dreaming up things to worry about. All right? So what you meditate on, okay, and then what you look at, what you focus your attention on, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, we don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. In other words, when you walk out and you're viewing your world, are all you looking at are problems? Do you see everything as a problem? Or do you see everything as an opportunity for God to work a miracle? Everything in my life is not exactly the way I think it should be. But I have to look at it in the morning and I go out there and say, oh, everything's broken, everything's a mess. No, I go out there and say, well, God, you got some work to do. Praise God. Going to get to see some miracles down this road. I'm going to get to see some blessings over here. I don't know how you're going to pull this one out, but glory to God, this is going to be a good one when it comes out. We're going to have a rejoicing party when this one works out. It's how you see. You can either look at the things that are unseen, being the promises of God, the power of God, that God is with you, or you can look at the things that are seen and just sit there and melt down. It's your choice. And he said, well, I've always been a melter downer. Well, you can change. I'm from a family of melter downers. My mama used to melt down. My grandma used to melt down. Everybody then would melt down. We were just a family of worry warts. Well, you can break that curse if you'll just start watching what you're saying, okay, what you're thinking about, and what you're looking at, how you're perceiving things, okay? It'll change. Now, here's my scripture. Here's where I want to get. 2 Kings chapter 4. I love this story. Been wanting to preach it for 2 weeks. There's a story here in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, about a woman who was in trouble. Now I'm going to read this to you, so y'all just hold on. Follow it there on the screen. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha. Okay, so this woman was a pastor's wife, we'll say. My servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be their slaves. She got some problems, right? I mean, it's pretty tough. So Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Now, see, if we'd have been around here, And he'd ask us that, we'd have said, well, stupid, I don't want to lose my two sons. Right? But she says, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Well, let me back up. So Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? In other words, what do you have available to your resources? What do you have that's of any value? Folks, listen to me. You can stand here today broke, in debt, with a tumor the size of a basketball hanging off your back. I mean, doctors at the door, the ambulance and the hearse are waiting for you to walk out the door because they don't know which one you're going to go to first. Now, can I get it any worse? All right? I mean, you're in some bad shape. But if you have breath in your lungs and faith in your heart, your God can do a victory for you. What do you have in your house? Listen to me. What do you have in your house? I'm not talking about your physical house. I'm talking about the house of your heart. What do you have in your house? What is there? Is there faith or is there bitterness? Come on, is there faith or is there jealousy? Is there faith or is there envy? What do you have in your house? Listen to me. Just listen to what you're thinking about. Listen to what's coming out of your mouth. If all that's coming out of you is spewing is venom, folks, your heart's sick and you need your heart healed so you can go on with God. Come on now, listen to me. This is good preaching. I feel the preach coming on. Man, it's the most excited I've been in a long time. I mean, what do you have in your house? What's in your heart? This woman said, I don't have nothing but this little old jar of oil. So he said, well, then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones. Huh? She knows what she wants to say. Say what? Huh? You want me to go to my neighbors and borrow all their empty vessels? And I don't, from where I come from, the amount of oil that's in this jar is just the amount that's in the jar. To the normal person, yes. To the normal human being on the face of the earth, yes. Whatever, you know, you can do in your own strength and ability, that's your limit. But to the born-again child of God standing with a VIP card, it didn't pour the same. Y'all with me? To the born-again child of God carrying the VIP card because they know what the promises are, wait a minute, their pot doesn't pour like everybody else's pot. So, she went from him, shut the door behind her. Well, she went and gathered all the vessels. She set us, and she, I'm getting ahead of myself. Then he said, go borrow the vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, the empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door. Can you imagine what she's thinking when she's getting ready to pour the first one? And so she went, she bought those vessels, she poured it out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said to her sons, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there's not another vessel. So the oil ceased. She started pouring, listen, she started pouring, and that pot just kept running. Now, how much did that pot run? How much? As many vessels as she had. If she'd have had one more, would have run one more? So let me tell you, you're going to walk in the power and the blessings of God as big as the amount of vessels you got. If your faith is itty bitty, I mean your faith is itty bitty witty, you just got enough to get saved. Then that's all you're going to walk in. That's all the oil that's going to pour. But if your faith is saying, you know, I want to be blessed to be a blessing. I want to buy, someday I want to be a Gideon and buy 10,000 New Testaments. So God, give me that ability. I want to reach out and I want, see, today you may only could buy one. Listen to me. I've been there. I've been there where it would have been a stretch for me to give you $1.25. Are y'all with me? Listen, but the amount of vessels represents the amount of faith the woman had. Y'all with me? And the pot just kept pouring. The pot from heaven never runs dry. The miracles, the whatever you need, the requests, the necessities, the whatever, it never quits. It never ceases. The pot never quits running. It's only the amount of your faith that taps into that pot. I remember years and years ago, I heard a message like this. I'm not a liar. I could be accused of being an exaggerator, but I'm not even exaggerating this one. And you got to understand, when we lost the ranch and we went broke. I was broke. I wasn't like, well, I just lost some money in that account, that venture. No, I was broke. I didn't have any money. And I got off the ranch with one ton dual wheel 454 truck. Okay. And so if you guys remember the days of the old 454s, we were really happy we got 6 miles to a gallon out of one of them puppies, right? 6 miles a gallon and a, you know, and a gallon of oil, you know, would run one of them babies. They'd run, they'd pull, man, they'd pull like nobody's tomorrow. But I'm telling you what, you better be there with that extra gas pump in the back. You all right? You remember that? So I'm trying to go be a carpenter, making $5 an hour. I'm putting as much, I'm having to work half a day just to get the fuel in the truck to get to the job. So I was learning about faith. I had little faith because I was broke. I didn't have any money. I didn't have anything. I didn't have any faith. I only had a couple of pots. That was enough pots to keep me alive. And I got a hold of this message. I saw this message. Wow, this is amazing, Lord. I need the pot of oil to start flowing. And he started teaching me this. And what's your faith? What are you going to do about it? So I said, well, I need another truck. So what are you going to believe me for? I said, man, I mean, at this point, just an old, I'd be good to believe you for an old Pinto or something, you know. Wasn't it the Pintos that had the, like they had the, if you got hit in the back, it blew up, right? Nobody wanted them. I mean, that's what I had faith for. It's like, man, maybe I could, you know, do something. But I had this truck. And so one day the Lord spoke to me. He says, well, why don't you be real specific? And I said, well, okay. You know, I need a better truck. I need a truck. And I need something that's going to get good gas mileage. And I, just not a dually, you know, maybe a 3/4 ton truck or a 1/2 ton truck. Just, you know, something like that. It needs to be pretty clean. It needs to be pretty good. You know, well, it should be nice. It had an air conditioner, Lord, you know, and it worked. Glory to God. And so he said to me, what color? And I'm like, Lord, I'd take an orange one. I mean, Lord, chartreuse green or something. I mean, just if it runs, man, I'll drive anything, Lord. He said, no, what color would you want it? And I said, man, I said, I guess blue. I like blue. So I just went, just started praying. So he said, every day I just got up and said, well, Lord, I just thank you. You got a deal working. We talked this over and we got a deal working. Thank you, Jesus. One day this guy calls me out of the blue. I didn't advertise, didn't do nothing, didn't look, didn't go on Craigslist, no auto trader. Thank, you know, God, we didn't have an internet back then. Anyway, could have probably got myself into trouble, but it was just a faith deal. Guy calls me up on the phone. He says, I understand you've got a dual wheel pickup that you want to get rid of. And I said, well, who told you? He said, I don't remember who I was talking to. Somebody said you maybe want to trade off that pickup. He said, I got a truck. I was wondering if you want to do a trade. And I said, well, okay, well, what do you got? And so he named off this truck. It was almost exactly the truck that I had asked for. And I said, well, what are you thinking about? And he said, I tell you what, you know, we're pretty equal trucks. I'll just trade. We'll just trade straight up. And so before I say anything, you know, before I jump on the deal, I said, well, let me ask you a question. What color is that truck? He said, it's blue. That was the first days when I started to see faith in action. I saw God. And I was like, I mean, I hung up. I said, well, yeah, let's meet and we'll look at each other's vehicles. And, you know, within a few days we traded. Both of us had a clear title, just swapped titles, signed them all off. I drove off in the truck that I was believing God for. He was happy. I was happy. I don't even know how. I never could figure out who told the guy anything about a truck. Didn't tell anybody about a truck. Boy, there was my truck. All I'm saying to you is your pot, your vessel that you get out, you're only going to be believing God for the amount of vessels you go get. Your heart is going to dictate how many you're going to go get. It's not a one-time shot, though. Listen to me. This is the good news. If you've experienced this and you only had a faith to go over there and knock on somebody's door and say, can I borrow a vessel? And you only got one. Well, it's not like, okay, well, I blew it. I should have asked for 1,000, but I only got one. No. That's the great thing about God. He's redeemable. You can go back and you can go back and you can keep growing. You can keep saying, hey, get a few more vessels over here. Because it's about the amount of your faith. But listen to me. It's according to what's in your house. And that's where I'm leaving you this morning. What's in your house? You see, church, if in your heart today, if there's unforgiveness, if there's bitterness, if there's anger, there's wrath, there's whatever, if that's what's in your heart, you know what's going to happen? That's all that's going to come out of you. You don't have any place for faith. You don't have any vessels to go get. You're not going to go over to anybody's house because you're mad at everybody. You're not going to go ask God for anything because you're mad at him too. And I'm telling you, you got to do some house cleaning. No matter what, folks, listen to me. Do not let your heart get out of order. Because when it does, the enemy is going to steal everything from you. Oh, we're going to have some ups and downs in life. We're going to have some things that God's going to have to heal us of. But you know, like the song says, you are so good to me, heal my broken heart. You're my Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Well, church, stand to your feet. Can I have my prayer team come down, please? Don't forget, the Gideons are at the door, and Jesus is right here to touch your life. Folks, I believe this with all of my heart. I truly believe this with all of my heart. Listen to me. God is a God of miracles. And right here, right now, in this room, in this short prayer, or you can come up front and have these guys pray with you, Jesus can heal your heart. Listen to me. Jesus can heal your heart. If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't know if you died, you'd go to heaven. You don't know if you're in a right relationship with him. If you're just lost as a goose. Then listen to me. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you'd confess with your mouth and you'd believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then he will come into your heart and he will save you and he will set you free. You may not understand it. You may believe this morning that you don't deserve it. You may believe you've done too much, but I want you to know Jesus loves you. He loves you just like you are right now in the mess that you may be. And he says, man, I want you to be with me forever. I want you to come and live with me. I want you to be assured and walk every day with confidence that you got the VIP pass. Amen. That ticket's worth a lot. Amen. So if you're here today or you're watching by video or listening by audio and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I want to pray with you. I want to introduce you to him. All you need to do is reach your heart out and say, Lord, it's me today. Amen? So everybody bow your heads this morning. If you're out there listening or watching right now, or you're in here today, man, just lift your hand up and wave it to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be right with you today. I know for sure I want to be right with you. I want you in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray, church, together. And if you're out there watching, pray this and say, Jesus, today I ask you to come into my life. I believe you are Lord and Savior. I believe you arose from the grave. And today I make you the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for that VIP card, that I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, church, listen to me. You got the VIP card. Don't let your house or your heart get in a place where you can't walk in faith. So I'm going to pray a general prayer over all of you. The prayer team's up here. But if your heart's in a bad place, well, right now, grab hold of this prayer and just let the Spirit of God come into you and begin to touch you. Amen. So, Father, right now, I pray for each and every one of us here, all those listening, all those watching. I just declare today, right now, that, Lord, we don't want bitterness. We don't want anger. We don't want unforgiveness. We don't want the hurts that this life has thrown at us to stop our heart from producing faith. We just right now ask, we repent, ask you to forgive us, to wash us and cleanse us, and, Lord, heal our broken heart. I ask you right now in Jesus' name, Lord, over each and every person, that they're going to be just like that woman and grab hold of all those pots, And they're going to be able to just see that vessel of faith keep pouring and keep pouring and keep pouring and keep pouring. And Lord, your blessings are going to flow out of each and every one. So Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory and honor today. Bless us, Lord, as we go. Let us tell others all about you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hey, church, God bless you. We're up here to pray for you if you need anything. Man, Jesus loves you.